Okay, we live in a stressful day, stressful time. The COVID pandemic has caused a great deal of stress worldwide, no question about it. And it's causing us stress even tonight. And it makes travel difficult. And some of you have lost your jobs over the whole issue. That's a stressful thing. It has claimed lives of loved ones. Most of us know of people that have died because of this. It's tragic. And it is no small matter, and none of us knows what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow may be. We don't know what is coming in the future. And it is a stressful time. It's also a stressful time in many families. There's family tensions and marriage difficulties and work deadlines and school assignments and traffic jams and employer expectations and rising prices and sickness and hot weather and overdue bills and aging parents, and the list goes on and on and on of stressful things in life. We live in a stressful time. You know, sometimes we might talk like, oh, it'd be so nice to live back in the good old days when they didn't have all the stress that we have today. Well, they didn't have the same kind of stress, but you know, you live back in those good old days, and some of them were trying to figure out how they were going to put food on the table, or how they were going to avoid getting scalped by the Indians, or something of those natures, or drowned in the sea in a hurricane. I mean, there's all kinds of problems that happen all the time. But we are in the midst of one of those stressful times. And stress causes anxiety and sickness. No question about it. And it makes life difficult. You know, how did people deal with their stress? You know, you look at our world today. What do people do to deal with their stress? Well, sadly, they turn to things that aren't very good. A lot of people turn to overeating, you know, just to get over their stress. They don't know what else to do, so they sit and just kind of fork it in, and they get overweight and from overeating, from stress. Others turn to alcohol, maybe medications. They turn to smoking, and life becomes dysfunctional. It's a disaster in many situations because stress is a real problem. It's not just an imaginary thing. It's a real problem. And it's something that all of us are dealing with. Now, why do I talk all about that? Well, when we look here in Genesis chapter 43, we find that Joseph's brothers are under a lot of stress. These four guys are under a lot of stress, and Joseph's going to crank up the fire on their stress a little bit during this chapter. And as we look at this, I want us to notice here three sources found in this chapter of stress. Now, there's lots of other sources. We've already mentioned a whole bunch of things, but there's three big ones that can be part of our situation as well. First of all, we find there was family stress. Verses 1 through 14 deal with Jacob's family and the stress there. And I don't think I'll read all of those verses, but let's read a few of them to get this setting here. Verse number 1, and the famine was sore in the land. Now, what's a famine? You kids understand what a famine is? We've never had any real famines in our day. But a famine's when there's no food, usually because of drought, and they can't grow things in the garden, and you know, it makes it so there's a lack of food and people are going hungry. It's a very serious thing. There was a famine in the land and it was sore. That means doesn't mean it had a toothache. It means it was very, very bad. All right, so there was a bad famine in the land. And it came to pass when they had eaten up all the corn or grain. Anytime I see this word corn here, I'm going to call it grain because that's what it actually was. I don't want you to be deceived. It wasn't ears of corn like that. And a lot of people get confused. It's an English term for grain. And they'd eaten up all the grain which they had brought out of Egypt. Their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. And Judah, all right, now he's one of the boys, Judah spake up unto him and saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. And Israel, or Jacob, said, wherefore dealt thou so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had a brother? And they said, the man, ask a stray of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of his words. And could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and I will arise, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Now, what is surety? You kids need to understand that. Surety means that I will guarantee. I will be the guarantee. If anything goes wrong, it's my fault. I'll take the blame for it. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so, do this. Take of the best of the fruits of the land in your vessels, and carry down the manna present, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, and nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hands, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hands. Peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise and go unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Now, as we look at this is a time of great family stress. Jacob was greatly stressed. The famine was a great stress. You know, you think about this. They'd eaten up all the grain that they brought back from Egypt. And, you know, they've emptied out the bags, and you can just see the men going to their wives. You know, what's left in the bag? Nothing. We've eaten it all. There's nothing left. We're going to have to start, you know, eating some of the stuff that are out in the barns with the cattle. We're out of food. We have nothing left to eat. And they were in a very bad situation. And Jacob said, go buy us a little food. And they said, sorry, Dad, we're not going to do that. That prime minister told us very sternly, we will never see his face again unless we bring our brother. And you said he can't go. And Jacob was stressed. This idea of sending Benjamin was a great stress. Now, we talked about that last time. Why was that such a stress to him? It's because Benjamin now was the only other son he had to Rachel. Rachel was his favorite wife. Not a good thing, but that's the way it was. Rachel was his favorite wife. Joseph's gone. Now Benjamin's the only one he's got, and he's holding on to Benjamin as his favorite son, and he said, I'm not going to let him go. And the brothers were very stressed because of all this, because if Dad doesn't cooperate, we're going to die. Our children are going to die. This is a bad deal. We can't disobey Dad. We're not going to, and Dad won't let us go. And so this is a very stressful time for their family. You know, finally, as we just read, Jacob yields to them, gives in, and he agrees to let Benjamin go. And he told them to take a present to the man. Now, you think about this. This was no small thing. This, too, was a stress. What was it? They were in the middle of a famine. And to take down some of these specialty foods would have been a very big sacrifice. These were things that could have kept them alive a little bit longer and could have provided for their family. But look at some of the things that were there. He said, take of the best fruits of the land, whatever the fruits they had, perhaps dried fruit, maybe fresh, but probably not because of the famine. You don't get much fresh fruit when it's famine time. So they may have had dried figs, they may have dried grapes, they may have had dried, you know, various fruits. He said, take of the best of the fruits of the land. And he said, take a little balm. Now, balm was a medicine that was very helpful, and it was a very valuable thing. And he said, a little honey. All right, he didn't say take a whole bunch of honey. They didn't have much honey, but he said, take a little bit of the honey. And spices and myrrh. Myrrh was a prized perfume. And then he says, take nuts. It's interesting. You look up that word nuts, and you'll find that it means pistachio. There are pistachio nuts. I thought that was pretty neat. I like pistachios. And almonds. So he says, take down pistachios and almonds and some of the fruit of the land and these specialty things and some honey and give this man a present. Maybe you can soften his heart a little bit. Maybe he won't be so hard on you. Maybe he will relax a little bit and he'll be able to cooperate with you. And then make sure you take the double money. He says, the money that the guy put back in your sacks last time, take that with you because it isn't yours, it really belongs to him. So you take it and give it back to him, and then take the new money and give to him as well, and maybe he'll calm down and things will go well. So he says, we need to make sure we do everything we can to ease the stress. And then Jacob did something that was very wise. Did you notice that in verse 14? And Jacob prayed. He says, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man. He leans on God. You know, that is one of the best things we can do in time of stress. Whether it be family stress or any other kind of stress, one of the best things we can do is turn to the Lord and say, God, we need your help. We can't do this. And even in this time of pandemic, as I mentioned just before the message tonight, we need God's help to know God's mind. What are we going to do if they say we can't meet as a church without having all of us vaccinated? What are we going to do if they say that we can't meet together anytime more than 20 people? What are we going to do with all these things? We got to have God's mind. So we need to be praying, God, please show us your mind. We need to hear from you, God, so we know what you want us to do during these difficult times. And, you know, there's all kinds of other stressful things that you may be going through. Some of you are looking for work. You're looking for housing. You have struggles of all different sorts that are real and legitimate struggles. And the thing we need to do is come to God and get on our knees and say, God, we can't do it. We need your help. That's what Jacob did. But, you know, we ask ourselves, why is it that we often find it so difficult to come to the Lord during our stress? Do we lack faith? I think sometimes. Are we too proud? Perhaps sometimes. You know, could it be that we're not walking close to the Lord? I hope that's not the case, but it may be. You know, we need to learn to lean upon the Lord during the times of our burdens. It's one thing to sing, cast your burden on the Lord and he'll sustain you. It's another thing to truly do that. It's another thing to truly come to God and say, God, you know we've got some problems here. We need help. We need your help to provide work. We need help to provide food for our family. We need help to provide shelter. And God, we need you. And so we need to get on our knees before God and pour out our hearts before him. We need to remember his promises. Hebrews 13:5. What did he say there? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. Never. God said, I will never leave you. And we need to claim that. And, you know, folks, I'm preaching to myself as well as anybody else because these stressful times are difficult for all of us. And we need to lean upon the Lord and trust him. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we need to wait on God, trust in him, say, God, I'm going to wait on you to provide and give wisdom and give understanding. Often we just say, God, I need your help, and we take off running, and we don't wait on God to give us direction. Maybe I'm preaching about myself. Maybe you don't do that, but I find myself doing that all too often. But then we find here a second source of stress. The first source of stress was family stress. Then we see a social stress that they were under. The brothers faced, they had to go face the prime minister. You know, I mean, I can just imagine some of those boys saying, Dad, I wish you weren't so feeble. I'd make you go down there and face that guy. All right? But they knew they had to do it. It was a stressful time. And they didn't want to go down there. Not only that, but think about this. Traveling down there, probably, you know, I've read that if you travel straight from the lower part of Israel over to Egypt, you can get there in about 11, 12 days, something like that. All right? It was a long journey, and they were traveling not by car, not by jet, not by some speedy way. They either walked or they were riding their donkey. Now, they may have rode their donkey down and put all the grain on the donkey and walked the donkey back home. I don't know, but it was not an easy journey. Dusty, hot, sweaty. It was a time of famine, so there wasn't rain. And if you don't have rain, what happens? There's clouds of dust, and there's people else on the road, and the dust is flying, and you can't hardly breathe, and they all put their masks on so they can breathe. You know, and it was a difficult time. And it was a stressful time, so the whole trip down there was stressful. And then when they got down there, it was a stressful time because they had to stand before the prime minister. Not an easy thing. And when Joseph saw Benjamin, note what he says in verse number 16. All right, verse number 16. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, and for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men to Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, are we brought in that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondsmen and our asses. And they came near the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at that door of his house. And he said, oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of the sack, and our money in full weight, and we have brought it again to our in our hand, and the other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put the money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. Now, this is a time of stress, a little bit of reprieve. The men, they find out they're going to Joseph's house. Now, that was not a nice thing. That was terrifying. The prime minister said, they're going to come to my house. Now, there's nothing indicating here that the servant actually told them they were going to have lunch with him. But that's what Joseph said. He says, go prepare. We're going to have lunch with those guys. But he didn't seem to tell them. He just said, the prime minister wants you to come to his house. And they're thinking, oh no, he's going to corner us. He's going to trap us. It's going to be bad. It's not going to be good. And so then they speak to the servant and tell him their story. And they say, you know, they tell him all these things that we brought the money down and all those kind of stories again. Goes through all that. And they're terrified. Their stress level is way up here. And then one thing that gives them a little bit of reprieve is that the servant said, it's okay. I had your money. You're not in trouble about the money. They go, whew, that's a comfort. And then he brought out Simeon. That was a comfort. They were probably wondering, will we ever see Simeon? Has he died? Have they killed him in the meantime? We don't know what they did with Simeon. All we know is the last we saw him, he was locked up in prison. And so now Simeon comes out. So two good things have happened now. That has eased the stress a little bit. Simeon's there with them. And Simeon, no doubt, they immediately start talking to Simeon. You can just imagine all the brothers. Simeon, tell us all about it. What was it like? Did they treat you decently? Did they torture you? Were you in chains the whole time? What was it like? And we don't know the answer to all those questions, but they were pumping him with all these questions. And he was probably saying, how's my family back home? Is my wife and kids still doing okay? And how's dad? And what's going on back home? And so they're all communicating with all these things. And they're excited, no doubt, to see Simeon, but the troubles aren't over. They were still burdened. It was still a time of stress, and it was a difficult time. And facing all these things was not easy. You know, it says that they were fearful. All right, that's an important thing for us to note there. You see that? It says that they were afraid, they were fearful. The same word is used when Adam heard God's voice, and he was afraid, terrified, because he knew he'd have to stand before an authority. We see the same word used when Sarah was confronted by God. And God said to Abraham, your wife is going to have a baby. And Sarah laughed. And then he said, why did Sarah laugh? And what did Sarah do? She lied and said, I didn't laugh. And he says, you certainly did laugh. And Sarah was afraid, terrified, because she was going to have to stand before an authority. And that's the word that was mentioned here. They were afraid. They were going to have to stand before Joseph in person, there in his house. It was a difficult time. It was a stressful time. And they waited for the prime minister, their stress increases. Now picture with me. You've got to use your imagination when you're reading these kind of stories. Who were these guys? What kind of occupation did they have? Levi, what kind of occupation did Joseph's brothers have? Were they factory workers? What were they? Farmers. They were farmers. And they probably lived in tents. They were poor farmers, living out in the fields, living in tents, traveling around with their sheep, caring for their sheep. Now they are in Joseph's house. Do you suppose Joseph had a nice fancy tent? No, I don't think so. It was probably next to a palace. He was the prime minister of the whole land. He was second in command of the whole nation of Israel, of Egypt. And so he probably has a beautiful, huge house. And they're entering into his house and they're looking around and saying, whoa, what a place. Oh, this gives me the creeps. Never been in a place like this before. Nothing like my tent. And this guy lives here? Wow, look at that dining room. It's huge. Look at that big table. Wow, look at all. Boy, I'm scared of my wits being here. And we got to meet that guy here? They are terrified. See, picture yourself in their situation. This was not a fancy, this was not a fine time for them. And then they found out they were going to have lunch with the prime minister. Whoa! Lunch with the prime minister. What is he doing to us? What is he trying to find out? What is he going to say? How is he going to treat us? This is the most stressful business trip these guys have ever traveled on. Ever. The brothers tried to relieve themselves by wisely returning the money, and that was a good thing to do. And that helped a little bit. Simeon came out, that helped a little bit. But you know, these fellas could not find true peace because they didn't have peace with God. You know, when we're under stress, one of the worst things we can do is not to be at peace with God. We need peace with God in order to have peace in our heart. And these men were not at peace with God. They had no peace in their hearts. And they were facing a social stress that was extremely great. They needed God's help. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses them, forsaken them, shall have mercy." And that's what they needed. They needed to confess their sins. You know, that's one of the hardest things for us sometimes, is to just say, "All right, I'm going to come clean. I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to get it right. And so I can have peace." But that's what they needed. But that brings us to the third cause of stress. And I call it internal stress. First of all, they had family stress. The famine and all the problems of the family. Secondly, they had social stress. They had to stand before the prime minister, give account to him, and all the worry of traveling down there and all those kind of things. But now they have internal stress. The brothers are stressed by meeting the prime minister. And when Joseph came in, they gave him their gift, verse number 26. And it says, "And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to the earth." Notice that phrase. I looked up what it means to bow like that. It didn't mean just to bow like this. It meant to get down on their knees and get on their face to the ground, or to fall flat on the ground with their hands outstretched in homage and honor. That's what it meant. These brothers were bowing fully to their brother Joseph and didn't even know it. They were terrified of him. They were showing as much respect as they could possibly show, and it was not an easy thing for them. And then in verse 27, "And he asked them of their welfare and said, 'Is your father well, the old man of whom you spake? Is he yet alive?' And they answered, 'Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive.' And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw his brother Benjamin, and his mother's son. And he said, 'Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me?' And he said, 'God be gracious unto thee, my son.'" Now remember, this whole time, Joseph is speaking through an interpreter. He is not speaking one word to them in Hebrew. He could have spoken to them fluently, but he chose not to because he didn't want them to know who he was. So he's speaking to them in Egyptian. The interpreter is interpreting all this for him. He's making it as if he doesn't understand them. And Joseph then, verse 30, "made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept. And he washed his face, and he went out and refrained himself and said, 'Set on bread.'" You can just see this. Joseph standing there before his brothers. He's grilling them. He's asking them questions. And they're standing there. They're all bowed under the ground. And he says, "How's your father?" And they said, "He's still alive. He's doing okay." Joseph may have said, "All right, you guys can get up now." But they're still shaking in their boots. And Joseph is talking to them, and he said, "Is this your younger brother you told me of?" Now stop and think with me. How old was Benjamin the last time Joseph saw him? He was 1 or 2 years old. That's all. He was a little tiny toddler. And now he's over 20 years old. He's about 21, 22 years old. He's married, got a whole slug of kids. And he is excited to see his brother. So excited. And he can't hold himself in. And he runs in his room, cries his eyes out, washes his face, and dries it off good, goes back out and tries to fake it like all is well to talk to his brothers again. You know, it, to me, you look at this and the stress that Joseph was going through right now. It was an emotional stress. It wasn't a sad stress. It was an excited one. But it was a stressful time for Joseph as well. Not an easy thing for him to hold all this in. Now, as we think about this, Joseph, he sees his brother there, and this stressful time was an exciting stress, but it's still a stressful time. You know, we can have stressful times. You know, like in preparation for Gerard and Leah's wedding. It was a stressful time for them and the family. It was a stressful time. A happy time, but still stressful because there's a lot involved in that. You know, so good things can have stress as well, and they can wear us down as well. We can get exhausted and tired and weary. And so it isn't just bad things that give us stress, although the bad things that give us stress seem to be more painful because you just can't get away from them. You know, and then they haunt you in your dreams, and they haunt you at night, and you can't sleep, and it's terrible. So those bad times of stress. But here Joseph is having a difficult time with all of this. Now his brother's stress increases to a higher level yet. Joseph told his servant to set on the food. Now take a look at this. And you look at this and think about it carefully as we read. Verse number 32. And they set on for him by himself, for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. Once again, these men are saying, what is going on? Something is strange here. There is something that God is coming down on us. How did he know that Reuben was the oldest? How did he know that Simeon was second? How did he know that Judah was third? How did he know that Benjamin, well, he knew Benjamin was last, but how did he set them all in the right order? He told his servant, all right, that one goes over here, that one goes over here, the guy in blue goes over here, the next one, he goes here, and he put them all in order. And they're looking at each other like, this is strange. And yet they never suspected. As far as we can tell, they didn't suspect it was Joseph. They thought there was a hoax or a jinx or a curse upon them, and God was coming down on them. There was something strange happening. They could not tell what it was, but they were terrified at all of this. It was not a happy time. And then we see something else that takes place. And he sat before verse 34, and he took and sent messes, that's their food dishes, messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was 5 times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Now, can you imagine? The boys are all sitting around thinking, this is a feast. What a spread. But why did Benjamin give 5 times as much as us? What's going on? What's special about him? Why would this happen? This doesn't make any sense. What is going on? Why are we all seated in order? None of this makes sense. And their stress level is tearing them apart inside because they don't know what's going on. But things are happening that they're scared of. They feel like they're cursed. They feel like God is coming down on them. And God is bringing all these things back to haunt them. And it is just eating up on the inside. Their stress level was great. Now, Joseph relieved his stress level by crying before the Lord. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what Joseph did besides cry. But being a man of God and a man who walked with God, I can't help but imagine in my mind that Joseph ran in there and he just poured his heart out and cried in a towel and he cried out, God, help me to know what to do next. I don't know what to do. I can't control myself, but I don't know if I can trust my brothers yet. They haven't been proven fully yet. Can I fully trust them yet? What do I do next? What should I do to try them some more? And he may have cried out to God and said, God, open my eyes and show me what to do next. And as we read on in the next chapter, if you haven't read it in a while, you'll want to read it right away. It's an exciting chapter. But he increases their stress some more, to turn on the pressure some more, to see whether they will break, to see whether they'll be genuine, to see whether they have really repented, to see whether they really are going to be new people. Instead of the old ones that were like the ones that sold him into slavery. Joseph relieved his stress through praying. That's what we need to do as well. You know, no doubt he was happy and sad and uncertain about all the events, and he needed God's wisdom. And I think he spent time with God in prayer. I can't prove that, but I think he did. You know, crying before the Lord and seeking God's wisdom is the best thing we can do during stress. We need to spend more time. These days that we are in are very stressful days. And we need to spend more time saying, God, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom for our church. Give us wisdom for our family. Give us wisdom for those of you who need jobs. God, show me, what do I do next? How do I provide? God, give us wisdom. Should we carry on this way or should we do this? Show us what you want, God. Give us insight and understanding. And when the pressure's coming on, they're screwing down the pressure and trying to force us to get the vaccination. And you say, but I don't want to. God, show me wisdom. Help me to do what's right. Help me to follow you. And follow God. We need God. And we need God's wisdom. And God is the only one that can help us. And we need to get on our face like Joseph did. Cry out before the Lord and say, God, would you please show me? Give me wisdom. Now, how do we handle stress? How do you handle family stress? How do we handle our social stress and our internal stress? Those common reactions of our day are not a good solution. You know, if you find yourself eating all the time because you don't know how to deal with your stress, that's not a good way to handle it. That'll catch up with you. That's not the answer. And certainly we don't want to turn to medication and drugs. Sometimes medication is needful, but not as a first choice. And certainly don't want to turn to alcohol or smoking or some of those other things that are far worse that God would be displeased with. We just need to turn to God. And we need to say, God, I need you more than I've ever needed you before in my life. We live in dark days. God, I need your help. I need your wisdom. Open my eyes. Calm my heart. Calm my stress. Help me to rest in you. And we need to cry out to the Lord. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Joseph cried out to God in time of stress, and he said, God, I need you. That's what we need to do as well. And Jacob and Joseph both learned the right way to deal with their stress. And that's what we need to do. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. So Psalm 18:2. A great verse for us to hang on to help us. Joseph's brothers did not get right with God, at least not right away. They had nowhere to turn. They had no comfort for their stress. And they first needed to confess their sin and get right with God. And if we're not right with God, that's the first thing we need to do, is we need to say, God, I am wrong. I am guilty. Would you please forgive me? Wash me clean. I need to be close to you because, God, I need you during these dark days. I need your help. And we need to cry out to God and just ask God to help us. Psalm 32:1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed if our sins are forgiven. That's what we need.